Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Well, good morning, church. How are we doing this morning? You look good. We're here in 2020. If you're visiting with us, I want to welcome you once again to the Path Sunday morning worship service. And my name is Jazz Vic, and I'm just grateful to have you all here with us today. This year, just like last year, I want to invite you all to share the live stream on our Facebook page, The Path Church Atlanta, because always it's the easiest way to do what? If you didn't know the answer, now you know. It's the easiest way to share your faith. All right. And so this year, 2020, we decided to embark on a journey with God where we are praying for what? Breakthrough. Now, last year, 2019, the theme of the year was trust the process. And when we trusted the process, we recognized that throughout the whole year, we had to rest assured that God was going to take us through some processes. He was going to take us through a process of sanctification where we had to seek him, we had to cling to him, and we truly had to surrender to him in that process. And so as we broke out the new theme, many of you were pretty excited because y'all were tired of processes. You were tired of all the things God took you through to mold you, shape you, and guess what? It's not stopping. And so, you know, we chose breakthrough, but let's be honest. We like breakthrough. Breakthrough sounds nice. Breakthrough sounds exciting. People are always looking for a breakthrough. I can't wait for my breakthrough. My breakthrough is coming. But see, without revival, there is no breakthrough. And so that's what we need. We need revival. And so what is revival? You know, for some of us, the moment you hear the word revival, you think of some hardwood floors, ceiling fans, and a hot church every day of the week. Whereas others of us, we may think of a tent in the country. And then some of us, we hear revival and it's like, what's that? But really, revival is very simply the improvement in the condition or the strength of something. And so it's appropriate that we need to have revival in order to strengthen our homes, our lives, our families, our cities, this country. And so we got to strengthen our dependence on God. In order to have revival, we have to be strengthened in our dependence on God. And that doesn't happen until revival starts here at Jesus. And so that's the title of my message today. Revival starts here. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be diving into this short book that we sold at the welcome table. If you got your copy, I hope you're reading it. It's a book called Revival Starts Here by Dave Clayton. Because as a church, we're seeking God in ways that are going to cause us to be stretched, ways that are going to cause us to be uncomfortable, ways that are going to cause us to need the strength that comes from being revived. If you consider yourself a member here at The Path, I want you to join us as we're continuing to consecrate ourselves before God. And really what that simply means is this. We are seeking God by choosing to be committed to devoting ourselves to God in a purposeful action. If that, whether or not that's giving up something or if that's committing to something. It may mean that you're giving up something for the greater good. It may mean you abstaining from social media, even though you know social media is your thing. It's the thing you click on every day. It may mean that you're committing to praying with somebody every day. But until January 23rd, we're coming together corporately, choosing to devote ourselves to God. See, we're petitioning God to do amazing things in ways that we've never seen before. And so why revival? Why strengthening? It's because we need it. Very simply, we need to be strengthened in this time and place where in this culture, every moment of every day, from waking up to going to bed, we're bombarded. We're bombarded with images of who we should be, how we should act, what we should look like, what we should say, where we should go, what we should do. And God is like, I'm still here. waiting on you to be dependent on me. Not on what other people say, not on what other people require of you, not on what other people desire from you, but I'm here. And so we need revival. Everybody say it with me. We need revival. You see, in this culture, we can be self-made anything and take Jesus out of the equation. We can be successful, and we can completely make our success devoid of Jesus and his presence. And so we need a revival in our hearts because we need to improve the condition of our heart's disposition toward the one who made us. See, a couple months ago, as a staff, we went to a conference in Tennessee where we heard a guy speak from Sierra Leone. And Sierra Leone is a small West African country, and it's plagued with civil war, depravity, ugliness. And he talked about how he had led his people to do some simple things, pray and fast. And so he shared about how so many times his life had been threatened by the authorities because he chose to speak out against what was happening to the glory of God. Here's a snippet of something that he said. How many of us can say that we would have that type of conviction in the face of adversity? Like many of us, we've never been threatened. Our lives have never been threatened for the simple fact that we say Jesus is Lord. And yet, we shy away. Somebody leave a foul comment on our Instagram feed and we don't want to follow Jesus anymore. And yet, when I saw this video for the first time, I realized there was something in my heart that I need to investigate. Because instead of thinking about how much conviction he had, all I could think about was, he lying. That ain't real, if I'm honest. Because somehow in this culture, in this day and age, I can find myself trying to sanitize the God who does miracles. I can find myself trying to make the God who is outside of time, the immaterial God, the God that's restrained to my thinking. And so I was convicted because I'm like, where does this boldness come from? What is he inviting people to? It has to be some secret formula. It's got to be a formula. He has amazing programs at his church, right? Like, he has a phenomenal kids ministry at his church. You know what? It's because he's got a coffee house. That's what it is. That's what's making his church grow. We can get used to a lot of stuff. We got air conditioning, heat in here, cushion seats. They may smell like middle schoolers, but they're cushioned. But you see, the secret formula that wasn't so secret was two things, prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. For some of us, that can be simple. You know, if you're a seasoned saint, prayer and fasting is just something that you just do. You just walk around ready to pray and fast, right? No? No? Okay. Prayer and fasting, that's it. It's just that easy, right? Well, see, I think many of us can be jaded to the power of prayer in the ways that we see it work in scriptures. We see men and women who did the unthinkable despite the odds through prayer and fasting. Amen. We see Jesus who prayed throughout his entire ministry, and even to the point of death, he prayed. On the cross, he prayed. And so when I heard this brother talking about the power of God in his country, I had to really say, you know what? What stops God from doing that here? What stops God from making that happen and for revival taking place here? And what I arrived at was the reality that we're not desperate enough. We're not desperate enough for God where we say, you know what, God, if you don't come through, if God didn't come through in that moment and change that man's heart, he would have been dead. But we're not desperate enough. We're desperate enough to show up to church on our time. Let's change that in 2020. We're not desperate enough to say, I can't wait to be a part of something amazing that's moving forward so that God can work. We're just desperate enough to get our needs met. I'm coming so I can get a word. I'm coming so I can get fed. I'm coming so I can change the world. I can help somebody so that I can give all of myself for the greater good. We didn't say that yet. So maybe we need to see more brokenness. Maybe we need to see more hunger. Maybe we in this city that is top for sex trafficking, maybe we need to see it explode even more. For us to finally realize that there is somewhere that we have to find ourselves on our knees, praying and fasting for change to come. And that has to be our hearts, a hunger and thirst for God. And so let's go to the Word of God. Let's go to the Word of God in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to start where Jesus is continuing his Sermon on the Mount in verse 5 when he's talking about praying. Matthew 6, verse 5. When you're there, say there. If you need a moment, say, hold up. All right, I'm going to go in 3, 2, 1. It's on the screen. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. But this then is how you should pray. This is the type of prayer you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, because your name is holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it already is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. We don't even pray that because we know where our bread is. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. That means we got to forgive people. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Keep us from evil. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive yours. Woo! Way to add that on, Jesus. Prayer and fasting. So here we have Jesus continuing the Sermon on the Mount, and he chooses to teach his disciples about prayer. And in his teaching, he says, when you do these things, it is an assumption that in your walk with God, you have to pray and fast. It's not an optional component of your discipleship. But when you pray, don't do it in a way that draws attention to yourself. You see, Jesus is not saying corporate prayer is bad, because that would be antithetical to other scriptures. But what he's saying is don't be that person who's trying to find the perfect way, the perfect place, the perfect time to be like, you know what, God, middle of the day, this is the time I'm going to stand right here. Y'all watching? Father God, we're so grateful. They watching. God, we thank you for being the one that, he's like, don't be that person. Don't be that person that's just waiting. I just want that sister to know how spiritual I am. I just want that guy to know that I love Jesus more than just a sprinkle. And Jesus says, stop it. The whole point of prayer is to say, I want God to come here. I can't make it my next moment. I can't have the next miracle. I can't be in the next place unless God does it. Prayer is saying, I want an intimate experience with God that doesn't come by way of just babbling words. It comes by recognizing that, God, you are holy and I'm not. You are gracious and I need it. You are loving and I don't even know how to love. And so, can you come here with me? Can you help a brother out? Can you help me? Because my next meal won't come without you. My next moment won't come without you. He's saying, this is how you should pray, with desperation. When was the last time you were desperate in your prayer? You know, I grew up saying the same prayer before I ate every meal. And then I got to a point where I'm like, is God even listening to this? Like, I'm saying the same thing every time. Am I really grateful that I got this food in front of me? Have I ever thought about if this meal didn't happen, and then the next meal didn't happen, and then the next meal didn't happen? Nah, never thought about it. And so we miss it because we buy into the idea that Jesus is a nice accessory. We buy into this idea that as long as I have his teachings, I can have a little positivity, and Jesus will lead to good vibes so I can manifest. What? That's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look, without me, without relationship with God, the one who created you, you might not make it. And so in our American Christianity, we can have this humanism that's wrapped up in nice Christian ideals, a Christian package, and say, Jesus. So that as long as we look the part and say the right things will happen because the universe will align. See, we miss it by accepting the status quo. We accept the status quo. If we tell one person about Jesus in an entire year, it's like, woo! I told one person about Jesus. Okay. But we don't want the status quo. If you want the status quo, stay away from me. Because the reality is nobody should want the status quo. Who goes to school and says, I'm aiming for C's? C minus, as a matter of fact. You need to repent if that's your thoughts. You know what I'm saying? If you made it through like I did, C's got my degree. But I wasn't aiming for C's. Jeez. That is kind of where it fell. But see, we have to be tired of praying powerless prayers. We can tend to go to God and it's like, you know what, God, here's my laundry list. Here are the things I need you to move on. And he's like, I've been moving. Where you at? I've been working. What you doing? Y'all don't hear me? You see, but without praying the way Jesus instructed us to pray, we can just pray the same prayers, prayers that are impotent, prayers that have no power, no expectation for God's kingdom to advance on this earth. But that's not what we need. We need revival. You see, Jesus didn't only talk about prayer in this passage, though. He talked about something else that's a lot more unpopular than even praying. He talked about fasting from food. We like some food, y'all. In America, we eat a lot. We get a lot whenever we want. And so let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to pick it up in verse 16. Verse 16, it says, now when you fast, once again, not if you choose to, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. Y'all know y'all like to fix your faces when you fasting. For they disfigure their faces to show others their fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Jesus knew our inclination to show everybody we holy. Oh, man. Whew, it's been a rough day. I'm just fasting today. Yeah, I'm just hoping I make it to 7:30. I'm just making it on through. Oh, let me get some of that water. That's all I can have today. I'm sorry. Y'all know y'all do that. And you know somebody to do it too. Jesus saying, if that's what you're going for, that's your reward. Hope you like it. If you're doing things, and it goes beyond just prayer and fasting. If you're going to church, if you're studying the Bible with people, if you're sharing the gospel, if you're doing any of this just so that somebody can say, oh, man, he's spiritual. She's spiritual. You're missing the mark. But prayer and fasting, God is like, Jesus is like, look, don't walk around looking crazy. Wash yourself. Put some oil on your head. Take a bath. Now, I hope that doesn't apply to us. You fasting and you not showering. Come on now. But in the culture that Jesus was speaking to, that was a thing. They weren't just fasting. They were crying out to God in many ways. One being, they didn't groom themselves. And so Jesus was saying, look, counter to what you want to do, make it a point that it's about your heart. Amen. Choose to reorient your heart in a way that honors God, and people can't see your heart. Yeah. People don't know what your heart is. Yeah. The same goes for us. You see, we show up to places and the clues are all over our faces that we're doing something for God, as if God needs us for anything. You do realize that if God can use a rock to cry out if he wanted to, a donkey, a murderer, a drunkard, an adulterer, a prostitute, the list goes on, and they all happen to be in Jesus' family. If he can use them, he don't need you, he wants you. But see, for some of us, fasting is just a curse word. We try to avoid it at all costs. God, I will do this, this, and this as long as I don't have to give up food. God, I'll give up alcohol, but not food. God, you know what? I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to stay off social media. You don't need to do that for God. You need to do that for yourself. God, I'll stop talking to these people like that's a sacrifice. But I'm not giving up food. And we don't even realize how much of our walk with God is predicated on shifting our dependence. There's something we're depending on, and it ain't God. And so when we fast, we're simply saying, you know what, God? Food is the thing that our bodies need in order to be sustained day to day. Food and water. We can go much longer without food than we've ever gone. Many of us have never actually starved. There are some of us here that have, but many of us have not ever actually been without food. And so when we say, God, we're going to fast for your glory, that's us actually saying, you know what? God, this is something that means something to me. And you know how I know that? Because I like chicken. I know y'all do. And so when we decide to give up something like chicken or steak or just any good meal, we feel it. We're like, ooh, vegetables. Yay. But what if every time we desired to eat something, we desired God even more? What if we decided, you know what, this moment that I want to go to the pantry to snack a little bit, let me pray. This moment that I want to slide through Popeyes, give me a little chicken sandwich. Instead of turning into Popeyes, let me go back to the house and pray. I don't know why y'all talking about that chicken like that. Somebody's struggling right now. But if revival starts at Jesus, then we have to realize that Jesus set the tone. Amen. We got to realize that Jesus started at prayer and fasting. Before he chose his disciples, he prayed. Before he even started his ministry, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And you know what the Bible says in Matthew 4? Right after it says, Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Y'all know what it says? He was hungry. Yeah. We don't even fast for 40 hours. We're like, man, I'm starving. But what stands in the way of these things is that these should be regular disciplines in our lives. If we're saying we're walking with Jesus and we want to go deeper with God and we want to hear from God more clearly and we want more from God, God is like, I want more from you. Weekly attendance, yay. What about sacrifice? Have a couple conversations. That's good. What about sacrifice? What about giving up something to the point where it actually physically pains you? We don't do that. But if we don't do that, then we can't expect to see what we saw from Shadonke, who was like the guy on the video. He was like, we came off of a month-long fast, and we're about to go into a month-long fast. And my first thought when he said that, I was like, I don't want to be in church. But that's just because God is working on me. He's not through with me yet. But we think it's a burden. It's too much of a burden. Jesus, I know you want this, but that's a lot. We doing what as a church? They doing a lot. Giving up something, committing to something for 21 days? You get 5 hours from me a week. We giving up what for how long? Nah, you asking for too much. We tell the creator of everything, who chose to give up all grandeur and walk as a creation, that died a gruesome death for our sins, you asking for too much. What price would you put on your salvation? Because I don't know too many people I'm willing to die for. The Bible says, like, even when we were unrighteous, Christ died for us. And yet, we tell him who did that, nah, I can't follow in your footsteps. We tell the one who entered our brokenness and allowed us to be healed through his blood, you gave up a lot for me, but I ain't really giving up a snack for you. I'm not going to spend a little time praying for you. And I'm not saying this is one who's got to figure it out. I'm not immune myself. For this 21 days, I was like, you know what? I'm going to give up meat. I was like, oh, wait, that came out too fast, God. Wait. God, let me get that back. Just run that back. Let me give up something else. Nah. In the moment I questioned it was the moment I realized that's what I needed to give up. Because it had to be something I didn't want to do. But I was ready to make all the excuses. God, what am I going to eat? Everything else. God, you know I got meetings at Chick-fil-A. Every day? Nah, no mac and cheese either. God, you know I'm going to mess up if I try. That's our favorite excuse. God, I'm not going to try because I'm going to mess up. Guess what? If you don't try, you don't know whether you mess up or not. The only way to fail is to quit. So instead of seeing it as a blessing to glean more from God's presence, we see it as a burden. But what if revival requires us to see this deeper dive into God as a blessing rather than a burden? We got to go from blessing to burden. All throughout scriptures, we see prayer and fasting through Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament, and we see God do the miraculous. We see God do things we never would believe if it wasn't written down. But even as I shared earlier, we can see it as a burden, and so we don't want to strengthen it. But then I had to ask myself, if fasting was such a big deal to God's people, and it was such a big deal to Jesus himself, why is it not a bigger deal to me? Like, why don't I look at fasting as an opportunity closer to my Creator by eliminating distractions? Because it's counterintuitive. It's counterintuitive to what we see, what we are. It makes us more aware that it's not about us. And more aware that we can't do things on our own. And we're not truly self-sufficient like we think we are. I made it to this place in my career because I'm awesome. No, you're not. I made it to this place in school because I'm so smart. No, you're not. And even if you are, guess who gave it to you? God. But if revival truly starts at Jesus, we got to find peace in knowing that Jesus himself didn't move as one who was self-sufficient. Like, theologically, Jesus existed before time was time, existed with God, in him, through him, and for him, all things are made. And yet, when he walked this earth, he chose to not be self-sufficient. Everything came from Jesus for the sole purpose of worshiping Jesus, and yet Jesus chose to pray and fast so that he didn't depend on himself. And yet we're like, we got it. We can do this on our own. We're good. But that's why he was so effective. His oneness with the Father made him more effective. It made him more focused on the mission at hand, and it made him more surrendered to the ultimate plan of God. And so how do we make this practical? You know, I understand that in this room there are people that are different places in their walk with God who are either seeking God, trying to turn back to God, feel amazing about God. And so how do we make this practical? Because Jesus made things very simple. The Sermon on the Mount was really simple for a reason. People had to memorize it. And so no matter where you are, it means take some time. Start with taking time to fast and pray. It may mean a few hours to start out with. Instead of starting, don't start a 40-day, 40-night fast. Please. I don't want nobody walking out here like, yep, Jazz just told me I got to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. No, I didn't. I'm simply saying start small. If you've never fasted before, please don't try with a whole day. Take a couple of hours, and in that time, pray. You may not be at a place where you can just fast food all day and only drink water. But choose something, some food to give up, so that you can be reminded how much you depend on food on a daily basis. Making it simple may mean that you choose to go to the scriptures and pray the same prayers Jesus prayed. When he prayed for those who persecuted him. When he prayed for his followers to be unified. When he prayed for his followers to remain in the vine. Jesus kept praying these things for others. So maybe prayer for you is just simply, I need to go to the scriptures and say, where did Jesus pray? Let me pray over and over again. See, we all have things in our hearts that could use the strength that God provides. And we don't tap into that strength without revival. We don't tap into that strength without prayer and fasting. And we don't tap into that strength without seeking God on his terms. And that's when we can truly embrace that there's a greater blessing. Amen. That's when it's no longer a burden, but it's actually a blessing that God wants us to participate in his kingdom being what is on earth. If you're visiting with us this morning or you watching on Facebook, my desire is that if you want to get to know Jesus, if you want to see what the scriptures have to say, take some time to dig into the scriptures. reach out to, if somebody invited you, reach out to that person and say, you know, what does it mean for me to be a disciple of Jesus? What does that even look like? Because the last thing we want is for your 2020 to end the same way 2019 did. The last thing we want is for you to say, new year, new me, minus Jesus. Because guess what? It's going to be same you, new year. Let something go. Over the next few days, join us. Commit to doing something different for the next, it's not even 21 days no more, till the 23rd. And see what God does in your life. Because ultimately, there's no breakthrough without revival. And revival starts here at Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you. God, we're desperate. And where we're not desperate, God, make us desperate for you. God, this world is crazy. You know, just in the short few days we've been in 2020, we see the depravity, the ugliness, the brokenness, and yet you're still sovereign. And so, God, I pray that today there's somebody that wants to seek you in a different way. Somebody who knows that they keep running into a wall. And in that, Father, I pray that you allow your word to be what draws them. That you allow the scriptures to be what draws them. So, God, as we take communion right now, I pray that we can be reminded that it's not because of our goodness. It's not because of anything that we've done. But it's all because Jesus chose to submit to your will here on earth. He prayed through the fears, prayed through the anguish, prayed through all of the challenges so that he could die on the cross for our sins, so that we could be washed in his blood. God, I pray that as we eat the cracker that represents the body that was broken, we drink the juice that represents his blood that is shed, that we can take it and be reverent of who you are. For your glory, and it's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.